Good morning, Ascend Church. Oh, see? I love it. We welcome you to stand with us, those of you watching at home. We welcome you to stand and worship your kitchen, your living room, wherever you are. Join us in worship of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen? We thank you, Lord, for your presence in this place. We thank you, God, that you have a plan for today. That you have a word for today, God. Show yourself big in this place, in Jesus' name.
There's a thing I know. in your place. your plan. Power in your blood, healing in your hands. Started flowing when you said it is done.
Jesus,
everything you did's enough. There's honey in the rock. There's honey in the rock.
Come on, sing it out. There's honey in the rock.
There's honey in the rock. There's honey in the rock.
Trust in you, Jesus. Oh, how sweet it is to trust in you, Jesus. Oh, how sweet it is to trust in you, Jesus.
That should fire you up. Fired me up.
Come on, Bronson. Let's worship. Come on.
Can you feel him in the room this morning?
Amen.
We're after his presence. His word said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, because they will be filled. Fill us now, Lord God. We hunger and we thirst after you, God. We hunger and we thirst after you, Lord. We hunger and we thirst. We want more of you, Lord God. We want more of you. We want to feel your presence. We want to feel your power. We want to feel your move. We want to hear your voice. Hallelujah. Make this atmosphere conducive for a move. Make this atmosphere conducive for a miracle. Make this atmosphere conducive for a word. We believe in you, God. Atmosphere is changing now, for the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here. Atmosphere is changing now, for the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here. Overflow in this place. Fill our hearts with your love surround us. You're the reason we came to encounter your love surround us. The atmosphere changing now, the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here. Yeah, the atmosphere is changing.
The Spirit of the Lord is here.
This morning, a miracle can happen now, for the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all, the evidence is all around the Spirit, that the Spirit of the Lord.
Somebody shout out of praise. Thank you, Lord God, for your presence in this place. We encourage you to join with us and sing under God this last worship song, being a living sacrifice, giving everything to you, God. Everything, every false idol must bow. Everything in my life, it's all for you, God. I love you. Thank you, Jesus. All on the altar. breathe, and I will be a living sacrifice, all my heart and soul to glorify. I offer nothing less than all. I just wanna bless you, whatever it takes, with my mind and my body, my spirit and strength. And if you are a fire,
welcome to Ascend Church. How wonderful to see you all. Won't you just turn and greet someone? Tell them how glad you are to see them. welcome to Ascend Church. So glad to have you worshiping with us this morning. Welcome to those that are watching online. Thank you for joining our online service this morning. We've had Comcast in here, making sure our Wi-Fi is all going good, because you know what that's like, right? But wherever you're watching from, let us know. If you're watching on Facebook Live, if you're watching on YouTube, let us know where you're watching from. And we're glad you joined us this morning. Amen. I'd like to just welcome you all. I want to welcome, if there's anyone visiting for the first time, we'd like to honor you and welcome you. Is there anyone that's visiting for the first time today? I don't think I see any new faces. How many miles did you ride this morning, Brian Lyles? How many miles did you ride this morning? 60. 60 miles on his bicycle. He puts us to shame. I can barely get 2 cups of coffee before I come to church, let alone 60 miles on the bicycle, right? To each his own. Anyway, good to see you. We're going to pass the clipboard by. Let us know that you were here. Glad that you are in church this morning. I believe the Lord has a word for you. We had a prayer meeting on Thursday night that was just phenomenal. And the last 2 times, I mean, just join us if you ever can. Thursday night. I know sometimes it's not yet possible with work schedules, but whenever you can, every other Thursday, not this Thursday, but the following one, there was just such a presence of the Lord. And I just want to let you know that we pray for you. We pray for your families, for your children, for your spiritual growth, for every aspect of your life. And I really sense it making such a change in my life and in others around me. So I hope you're encouraged by that. But I just want to remind you that of the 4 main purposes of our church. We're going to have communion in a minute. If anybody did not receive that communion cup, won't you just wave your hand that the ushers can get there? Sherry's the only one. And we're going to have communion together, which I love. But I want to remind you the 4 main purposes. The first one is that we would know God, help you to know God, help you to find freedom, help you to discover your purpose and make a difference with your life. Amen. Pastor Steve's got a good message for us this morning. We do communion.
Yes. Morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Good to see you today. Glad you are here this morning. We are going to have communion together today. I have 2 passages I want to read. We usually just read 1, but I'm going to read 2 today. First passage we're going to read is the first time that Jesus instituted what we call communion, the Lord's Supper. And that's Luke chapter 22, from verse 14. Do you have that? Can you put that up for me, please? On the screen here. You got it? There we go. When Jesus arrived at the upper room, he took his place at the table along with all the apostles. And then he told them, "I have longed with passion and desire to eat this Passover lamb with you before I endure my sufferings. I promise you that the next time we eat this, we will be together in the feast of God's kingdom." Then he raised a cup and gave thanks to God and said to them, "Take this and pass it on to one another and drink. I promise you the next time that we drink this wine, we will be together in the feast of God's kingdom." Talking about the wedding feast of the Lamb. Then he lifted up a loaf, and after praying a prayer of thanksgiving to God, he gave each of his apostles a piece of bread, saying, "This loaf is my body, which is now being offered to you. Always eat to remember me." And after supper was over, he lifted the cup again and said, "This cup is my blood of the new covenant that I make with you, and it will be poured out soon for all of you. And then I want to read what the Apostle Paul said about communion in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. He said, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord Himself. On the night when He was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then He broke it in pieces and said, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, He took the cup of wine after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant between God and His people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until He comes again. So anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. That is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup. For if you eat the bread or drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. And that is why many of you are weak and sick, and some have even died." The Bible says that we have to discern the Lord's body. And when we partake of communion, we should do so with understanding. And here's what we understand: that Jesus' body was broken for our healing. By His stripes, by His wounds, we were healed. When we partake of communion, we remember the fact that the price Jesus paid, the covenant we have, we remember that He took our sickness and His body was broken, that our body could be made well, that we can be healed, that we can be whole. And secondly, we remember His blood that cleanses us from all sin. And that because of the blood of Jesus, we can come boldly before God now. We can come boldly before His throne. He is our Father. We've been cleansed. Amen. And the Bible, I believe, is also important when it talks about discerning the Lord's body. It's important that we understand that we are all part of the body of Christ and that we need to be in unity with one another. And when you partake of communion, if you have got aught against anyone, if you've got something against someone, you need to forgive them and let it go as you partake of communion, because otherwise the Scriptures talks about that we can drink judgment on ourselves, because we're the body of Christ and God wants unity in His body. You get it? So let's partake together. Open up your little communion. There's the bread in the top there. And of course, I've got one here that doesn't want to work properly. Gosh. No, it's okay, but I'll get it figured out. I put that down there. Get my bread out of here. Did you manage to get the bread out? I got it. It shouldn't be that hard. You're right about that. All right. Now we're ready. As you take the bread, say this. Say, "Lord Jesus, I thank You for Your body that was broken for me. I thank You, Lord, that by Your stripes, by Your wounds, I have been healed. I receive my healing today, and I resist and I reject all sickness and disease. I've been redeemed from the curse of sickness. I thank You, Jesus, for the price You paid to heal me." Amen. Go ahead and eat the bread. Praise You, Lord. Say this, say, "Lord Jesus, I thank You for Your precious blood that You shed for me to redeem me. I thank You that by Your blood, I have a covenant with God. I am now a child of God. I've been cleansed of all sin. I've been made righteous. Thank You, Lord, for Your blood that You shed for me. Go ahead and drink. Praise the Lord. You don't have to get up. All right. Thank you. I was going to toss it. Praise God. Are you ready for God's word this morning? Thank you to our worship team, musicians, singers, did such a wonderful job as they always do. Give them a big round of applause once you do that. We appreciate them. Praise God. Today, I want to speak to you about no more excuses.
All right.
This is actually a message that I had on my heart a couple of weeks ago, and I was preparing it, and then I felt the Lord wanted me to speak about you can handle it last week, but I can't get away from this one. I keep coming back to it, and so I feel like this is what the Lord wants me to share with you this morning. No more excuses. Tell your neighbor, no more excuses. Can I tell you that excuses can stop you from fulfilling God's destiny for your life? Excuses can rob you of God's blessing in your life. Excuses can stop you from following Jesus. Excuses can keep you out of heaven. Jesus, that's what Jesus said. He told a powerful parable about excuses in Luke chapter 14. Verse number 16, when one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Now, we just spoke about that in communion. Jesus said, the next time that I eat this meal with you will be at the feast in the kingdom of God. Are you with me? So this man's asking him about it. And Jesus replied with this parable. Jesus taught in parables. Every parable had meaning. There was a man who invited many to join him in a great feast. And when the day for the feast arrived, the host instructed his servant to notify all the invited guests and tell them, "Come, for everything is now ready for you." But one by one, they all made excuses. They made excuses. One said, "I can't come. I just bought some property, and I'm obligated to go look it over." And another one said, "Please accept my regrets, for I just purchased 5 teams of oxen, and I need to make sure they can pull the plow." And another one said, "I can't come because I just got married." And the servant reported back to the host and told him all their excuses. So the master became angry, and he said to his servant, "Go at once throughout the city, invite everyone you can find, the poor, the blind, the disabled, the hurting, the lonely, invite them to my banquet." And when the servant returned to his master, he said, "Sir, I've done what you've asked, but there's still room for more." So the master told him, "All right, go out again. And this time, bring them all back with you. I say to you, the one who receives an invitation to feast with me and makes excuses will never enjoy my banquet." Now, notice that these excuses seem reasonable, maybe to you and me, but God doesn't like it or accept it when we make excuses why we can't do what he wants us to do, why we can't do what he tells us to do, why we can't do what he's called us to do. Now, this is a parable, but Jesus has also invited us to his banquet. The Apostle John spoke about it in the book of Revelation, chapter 19, verse 9. It said, the angel said, "Write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb." Can I tell you that there is a wedding feast coming, the wedding feast of the Lamb, and you're invited. And I don't know about you, but I'm not going to miss it no matter what the excuse may be. I'm not letting excuses keep me out of the kingdom of God. Jesus is the bridegroom, and we are his bride. In Matthew 25, Jesus told another parable. He said that the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins or 10 bridesmaids. Some translations, the King James says virgins. Most translations say bridesmaids. There were 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and they went to meet the bridegroom. And five of them were wise and five of them were foolish. The foolish ones were not prepared. They didn't have enough oil. But the five wise bridesmaids, they were prepared. They had enough oil. And the bridegroom was delayed, so they all fell asleep. But at midnight, the cry was heard, "The bridegroom is coming, the bridegroom is coming." And they all got up and prepared their lamps. The foolish ones asked the wise ones to give them some oil because their lamps were going out. But they didn't. The wise ones said, "We don't have enough oil. You need to go and buy some at the store." And while they were gone, the bridegroom came, and the five who were ready went into the wedding feast, and the door was locked. And then when the five foolish ones came and stood outside calling, "Lord, open for us, open for us," he called back, "Go away, I do not know you." Now, verse 13, this is, I'm not going to read, I just told you the parable, but I said all that to get to verse 13. Jesus said, "So you too must keep watch, for you do not know the day or the hour of my return." Jesus is saying you must be ready, because there were 10 bridesmaids, five were wise and five were foolish, and half of them were not ready. Can I tell you right now, more than half the church today is not ready if Jesus comes back tomorrow. They're not ready for it. And I don't know about you, but I want to be ready, because he could come back at any moment. And I want to be ready for his return. And my job as your pastor is to ensure that you are ready for Jesus' return. Can you say amen, somebody? Now, this wedding feast we're talking about takes place right after the judgment. We're all going to stand before the great white throne judgment seat of God. And as followers of Jesus, we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, where we will be rewarded for the things that we did while we were on the earth. In 2 Corinthians 5:10, it says, "For we must all stand before Christ to be judged." Say, "I'm going to stand before Jesus, and I'm going to be judged." "We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or the evil we've done in this earthly body." The Bible says we're going to stand before God, and we're going to give an account. And we are going to be rewarded based upon what we did. The Apostle John, in 1 John chapter 2, he wrote this. He said, "Stay with Christ." This is the Message translation. "Stay with Christ. Live deeply in Christ. Then we'll be ready for him when he appears. Ready to receive him. With open arms, with no cause for red-faced guilt or lame excuses when he arrives." Can I tell you that we are not going to be able to make an excuse of why we didn't do what God wanted us to do in our life. I'm not sure how great this is going across, but let me tell you right now, I've got to stand before the Lord one day, and I've got to give an account. Did I preach his word to get you ready? You know, some people, they only want to go, when they go to church, they just want to hear something that encourages them. One time, a member of my family, when we were back in Cape Town years ago, a member of my family hadn't been to church in like 3 months. And I called them up and said, "I've missed you at church." I said, "Well, I don't want to come to church and be challenged," is what they told me. "I just want to be encouraged." Let me tell you, if you go to a church that only encourages you and never challenges you, you're not hearing the Word of God. You're not hearing the gospel. Because every time I read my Bible, without exception, I get challenged. Am I the only one in here? I don't want you to be embarrassed on that day. I want you to hear Jesus say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord." That to me is the mission of my life. That's what I want to hear Jesus say. "Steve, well done." I don't want to hear him say, "You didn't do what I wanted you to do. You didn't go where I wanted you to go. You didn't become what I called you to become. I don't want to hear him say that. How about you? We need to stop making excuses, family, of why we can't do what God says we should do. Because excuses will hold you back from God's best. The Israelites didn't enter the promised land because of their excuses. God delivered them from slavery in Egypt. He did amazing miracles for them. And he told them, go take the promised land. And they said, no, we can't do it. We can't do it. The people living there, they're too strong. The cities are large and fortified, and there are giants living there. They'll crush us. There's no way that we can do it. They had all these excuses, and their excuses kept them out of the promised land, kept them out of God's best. 40 years later, their children would do what they said they couldn't do. Their children would go and take the promised land under the leadership of Joshua. And when God told Moses to lead his people from Egypt, Moses came up with all these excuses why he couldn't do what God said. Moses said, God, who am I? How can I go to Pharaoh? Who am I to lead your people? What do I say when they ask me, what is your name? What if they don't believe me? I don't speak well. I'm not eloquent. Please, Lord, send somebody else. Moses had all these excuses. Evidently, Moses got rid of those excuses. He went on to become an amazing leader. And let me tell you, we need to get rid of our excuses so we can become and do what God has destined us to be. When God spoke to Gideon, a man named Gideon, that he wanted Gideon to save Israel from the Midianites. Gideon replied in Judges 6 verse 15, he said, but Lord, how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I'm the least in my entire family. I can't do this, Lord. I'm the weakest in my family, and our clan is the weakest tribe in all of Israel. Thank God Gideon got rid of those excuses, because he did go on to defeat the Midianites with just 120 men. Many people today are missing God's best for their life because of excuses. People make excuses why they're not following Jesus. We got people not here today. I'll hear all the excuses next week of why they couldn't be here today. Why people make excuses why they can't pray, why they can't read their Bible, why they can't come to prayer meeting, why they can't come to church every Sunday, why they can't invite someone. We got all these excuses. But the scripture says in Proverbs 24 verse 12, rescue the perishing. Don't hesitate to step in and help. And if you say, hey, that's none of my business, will that get you off the hook? Someone is watching you closely, you know. Someone who's not impressed with weak excuses. Say, God's called me to rescue the perishing. Who is that? Who are the perishing? Jesus said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So people who are perishing are people who don't know Jesus. They are on their way to hell. That's perishing. And Jesus said in Luke 13, verse 3, you will perish unless you repent of your sin and turn to God. If we do not repent and of sin and turn to God, Jesus said, we're going to perish. So that means everybody who doesn't know Jesus is perishing. They're on their way to hell, and God has called us to reach out and rescue those who are perishing. And we're not going to be able to make weak excuses. We need to all be aware of every opportunity that comes across our path to reach out and tell someone about Jesus, or reach out and invite someone to come to church. Thank you for your enthusiasm this morning. I will continue regardless. If you read Proverbs 24, verse 12 from the Passion Bible, it says, why would you say, but it's none of my business? The one who knows you completely and judges your every motive is also the keeper of souls. Not just yours. He sees through your excuses and holds you responsible for failing to help those whose lives are threatened. Can I tell you that God is going to hold us responsible for reaching out to the lost people around us? So let's not make excuses. Let's reach out. Jesus said the harvest is ready, but the harvesters are few. Pray that the Lord will send harvesters into the harvest. Listen, family, will you be a harvester? Will you be one of those who will go out into the harvest and bring in the lost, bring in people, bring them to Jesus? Will you be a harvester? I'm praying for God to raise up harvesters in this church. I pray that every one of you will be a harvester. Because can I tell you, there are people around you that I will never have an opportunity to meet them. Unless you bring them to church, I'll never meet them. Because God is looking to you to reach out to them and to bring them to Jesus. To just simply, every single week, my challenge to you would be to invite someone to come to church. Every single week. And everybody said, amen. I said, and everybody said, amen. I hear excuses from people all the time why they can't serve, why they can't forgive someone, why they can't obey God, why they can't tithe, why they can't give. Proverbs 6 verse 11 says, by making excuses, you'll learn what it means to go without. Poverty will pounce on you like a bandit and move in as your roommate for life. Excuses will rob us of God's blessing in our life. And when we make excuses about why we can't obey God, we're inviting poverty into our life. Say amen, someone. Someone said, Pastor Steve, why do you receive an offering every Sunday? Why do you talk about money every Sunday? Because the Bible talks about it a lot, and because that is God's way of funding His kingdom, and because when you obey God and give and tithe to His kingdom, God opens the windows of heaven and pours blessings upon you. That's why we talk about it. That's how it works. And if you say, well, I've got all these excuses why I can't do that, you're inviting poverty in your life. I made a decision. I'm going to obey what God says, no matter what anybody else says about it, and no matter even what my own mind says about it. If God says it, I'm going to do what He says. Anyone else made that decision in your life? It's easy to come up with reasons why we can't accomplish a dream, why we can't be happy, why we can't overcome a problem. Excuses are a dime a dozen. You know, often we think, well, you know, I've got an excuse to be upset. You know, my boss was rude to me. My coworker left me out. I've got an excuse to be offended. These people hurt me. They didn't keep their word. They betrayed me. I've got an excuse to settle where I am. I had a bad childhood. I lost a loved one. I went through a bad breakup. I got an excuse. Now, as long as we're making excuses, we will justify staying where we are right now, because excuses give you permission to settle for less than God's best. And it's easy to find an excuse about anything. It's easy to find an excuse. I can't lose this weight, man. I got a slow metabolism. I can't break this addiction. Everybody in my family has it. It's in my genes. It's been passed down to me. Yeah, it may be in your genes, but the good news is you can turn off those genes. You got the power to overcome it. You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. But the only way it's going to happen if you get rid of the excuses. As long as you're blaming the past or blaming someone else or blaming the traffic, blaming the weather, you're going to get stuck where you are. I'm asking you today to throw out the excuses. It may be a valid excuse. It wasn't fair. You went through a disappointment. You went through a betrayal. You went through a sickness. But you've got to draw the line in the sand and say, I refuse to live my life with a chip on my shoulder, angry, upset, with no passion. Because let me tell you, if you get rid of the excuses, God will be your vindicator. God will pay you back for that unfair thing. God will cause all things to work together for your good. This is your year to step up to a new level, to see God's favor in a new way in your life. But you've got to have the attitude. No more excuses. I'm not making any excuses. I'm going to do what God says I should do and what God's put in my heart. And I'm going to be who God's called me to be. Can you say amen, somebody? No more excuses to be unhappy. This day is a gift from God. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm going to enjoy it no matter what's going on. We made that decision because if you can only be happy when everything's perfect, you will never be happy. Because you may have everything perfect financially, and then you got this relationship here you're dealing with. Or everything's great in your relationship, then you've got an illness come upon you. There'll always be some kind of challenge, and you got to decide, this is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to be glad no matter what's going on around me. No excuses to settle for mediocrity and give up on my dreams. I'm pursuing my goals. I'm overcoming obstacles. I'm breaking these bad habits in the name of Jesus. No excuses to go around feeling inferior. I know who I am. I'm a child of the Most High God. I'm one of a kind. I'm a masterpiece. I'm crowned with God's favor. Well, Pastor Steve, I just don't think I can accomplish my goals. I'm not very talented, and I don't have the connections, and I didn't get what my friends got, and they got the looks and the personality and the good breaks. And, you know, listen, if you didn't get it, you don't need it. You got exactly what you need. If you needed what they had, God would have given it to you. So don't compare yourself to anybody else. Run the race God has for you. Because God has anointed you to be you. Nobody can beat you at being you. You are the best you on the planet. Amen. You're fully loaded. You are totally equipped. You are uniquely designed for the race that has been laid out for you. So get rid of those excuses. I'm too this, I'm too tall, I'm too old, I'm too young, I'm the wrong nationality, I'm this, I'm that. No, you have been fearfully and wonderfully made. You need to step up and be who you were created to be. Because anytime God's about to take you to a new level, there will be excuses that you've got to get rid of first. Can you say amen, somebody? Before you see that promotion, you've got to get rid of that excuse. Well, Pastor Steve, I don't know. I'm just not that qualified. I'm just not that talented. I don't think I can do it. Before you break that addiction, get rid of the excuse. Well, I've had it so long, you know. I'm not very disciplined. Before you meet the person of your dreams, you got to get rid of the excuses. Well, you know, there's nobody out there, boy. There's no available people, and I'm not that attractive. I don't really have a good personality. No, God wants to do something new in your life. He wants to take you to a new level in your destiny. Are you allowing excuses to hold you back from what God wants to do? Because sometimes you need someone to speak the truth to you in love. Maybe you're coasting along thinking you've reached your limits, but you have gifts and you have talents on the inside that you haven't even tapped into. I'm telling you, man, it's no ifs, ands, or buts. It's time to lose the excuse bag and step up to a new level in your life. Start learning something new. Start training for that new promotion, that new program. Start taking on more responsibility. Start writing that book. Start writing those songs. Start developing that business plan. You have potential talent that is lying dormant on the inside of you right now. And the enemy would love to use excuses to keep it from ever coming out. That's why Paul told Timothy, stir up the gift of God that is on the inside of you. You've got gifts on the inside of you. You've got talents on the inside of you. You've got to stir those gifts up, and excuses will never do that. Amen. Quit telling yourself what you can't do. How you don't have this, and you don't have the discipline, and you don't have the training, and you don't have the education. You have everything you need. You are well able. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You ever heard that saying, you can't teach an old dog new tricks? Well, I've learned it depends on what kind of dog you have. Because if your dog thinks I'm limited, I'm lacking, I can't learn anything new, then that dog's going to get stuck. But if you've got a dog that says, man, I'm well able, I'm equipped, I'm empowered, there's nothing too hard for me, all things are possible with the Lord, then that dog will learn some new tricks. So you've got to make sure that you're the right kind of dog. Amen? Are you stuck doing something the old-fashioned way because you don't think you have the talent or the ability to step into the new? You've got to quit discounting yourself and quit shrinking back. Don't let those excuses convince you that you're lacking, that you're too this, you're too old, you're too young, you're just not up to, you're just not up to par. No, God put in you what you need for this day. This is your time to shine. Get rid of those limiting excuses and stay open for new ideas, new ways to do things. Because when we keep making excuses, they become a crutch. That way we can justify why we are not, you know, where we're supposed to be. Well, Pastor Steve, they hurt me, man. They did me wrong. Now I have to use this self-pity crutch. I've got a reason to be this way. Or my friend is more talented. They got the looks. They got the personality. I've got this inferiority crutch. Or I've made some mistakes in my life. I didn't raise my kids right. I blew that relationship. That's why I'm using this regret crutch. Every time you make an excuse, it's slowing you down. It's causing you to hobble. And the tragedy is some people spend their whole life on crutches. Don't let that be you. If you get rid of the excuses and believe that you have what it takes, trust God to make your wrongs right, then instead of hobbling and barely getting by, you'll keep stepping into new levels of your destiny. Amen. That's what a young lady named Vilma did. Her name was Vilma. She was born back in the 1940s. She was the 20th of 22 children. And as a, you think four kids, you got a lot of kids? 22 kids. And as a toddler, she had scarlet fever. She almost died when she was 4 years old. And she developed polio in her left leg. And it shriveled so badly that the doctors told her parents that she would probably never walk again. And so the family members would spend time, hours every day, massaging her, that leg. And other kids were out there playing, having fun. She was at home, not able to walk. She spent 2 years bedridden. She could have thought, man, this is my lot in life. I've had a bad break, and I've got a good reason to settle right where I am. But this Vilma had this no-excuses kind of mentality. And a caring doctor made her a special leg brace and a shoe. And against all the odds, she learned how to walk. At 11 years old, without her parents knowing it, she started taking off the brace and going out and playing with the other kids. And she developed a great passion for running. And some days she'd go out and she'd just run for hours at a time. And one day a coach from the Tennessee State University noticed how much she loved to run and how fast she was, and he invited her to come try out for the team. Not only did she make the team, but when she was 16 years old, she qualified for the 1956 Olympics, and she went on to win a bronze medal. 4 years later, at the 1960 Olympics, Vilma Rudolph won 3 gold medals, became a national hero in America. You see, that's what happens when you don't let self-pity become a crutch and you don't sit around thinking about what you didn't get and how you don't measure up. You will beat the odds. God will get you where you're supposed to be because we all have had bad breaks. We all have things happen that we don't understand in our life. But if it was going to keep you from your destiny, God would never have permitted it. So don't let it become a crutch. Don't let it be an excuse to settle where you are. Do like Vilma and stir up what's on the inside of you, and you'll go places that you never dreamed that would be possible. Isn't that right? In the scripture, there was a man who had been blind since he was born. And some people asked Jesus, why was this man born this way? Whose fault was it? Was it his fault? Was it his parents' fault? They were looking for someone to blame. They were looking for an excuse, a reason. But look what Jesus told them in John 9, verse 3. It was not because of his sins or his parents' sins This happened so that the power of God could be seen in him. And the Message Bible says it like this. You're asking the wrong question. You're looking for someone to blame. There is no such cause effect here. Look instead for what God can do. You see, we all fall into that trap of trying to look for an excuse or someone to blame. Rather, we should be looking for what God can do in our life. So Jesus spat on the ground. He made some mud. He put it in the man's eyes. He told him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. The man did what Jesus said, and he came back, and he could see. He was healed. You see, when you have a bad break, a disadvantage, don't get stuck looking for someone or something to blame. You're not always going to understand why things happen, but if you will stay in faith, if you will keep your eyes on the Lord, let me tell you, it won't work for you. It won't work against you. It'll work for you. God will use that to show out his power in your life. But like these people, it's easy to want to blame the parents. It's their fault. That's why he's blind. Or blame the man. Or blame the neighbor. Or blame a friend. Or blame someone else. All that's going to do is give you a reason to feel sorry for yourself. And before long, you'll have that crutch. But nothing that has happened to you is a surprise to God. If you'll take the hand you've been dealt and make the most of it and just keep trusting and looking to God, it might not have been fair what happened, but God is a God of justice, and he sees every wrong that's been done to you, every hurt, every disadvantage, and if you won't let it become an excuse and get bitter, have a chip on your shoulder, God said he'll take that wrong and it'll turn that wrong around and he'll use it to your advantage. He'll pay you back for the unfair things that have happened in your life. Can you say amen? I'm so glad, man, there's nobody can stop your destiny. People cannot stop your destiny. What they said about you, what they did to you, how they try to make you feel, that doesn't have to affect you. Let me tell you, the only power that has over you is the power that you give it over you. If you sit around nursing your wounds, thinking about the wrong, it's going to become a crutch. It'll hold you back in your life. But if you let it go, God will be your, he'll fight your battles. He'll be your vindicator. Amen. That's what happened with Joseph in the Bible. Joseph went through one unfair situation after another. I mean, his brothers betrayed him, sold him into slavery. He could have become bitter. He could have thought, man, I've got a good excuse to live my life angry and bitter because he was lied about. He was falsely accused. He was thrown into prison for years. Another excuse to have a chip on his shoulder. He spent years in prison for something that he never did. He could have come up with excuse after excuse to settle where he was. But Joseph, he knew that those excuses would become crutches that would keep him from his destiny. He had this no excuse mentality, man. He kept shaking off the disappointment, overlooking the offenses, doing the right thing, even when the wrong thing was happening. And in the end, he came out of it vindicated and promoted in a place of honor and prestige and influence. And I love Joseph's attitude, man. When his brothers finally come to Joseph and they're asking him for help in Genesis 50, Joseph told them, don't be afraid of me. Am I God to judge and punish you? As far as I'm concerned, God turned into good what you meant for evil. He brought me to this high position I have today so that I could save the lives of many people. I mean, what an amazing attitude to have. I'm not sure I could have had that attitude. I might have just thrown him in jail for a little while. You might have had some bad breaks. You might have had things you don't understand. But don't get stuck looking back, reliving the negative. That's a distraction. If you do like Joseph, keep moving forward, taking the high road, doing the right thing. Let me tell you, God will get you where you're supposed to be. God, he will vindicate you. No bad break can stop you. No disadvantage. No injustice. God has the final say. You say, but Pastor Steve, they hurt me. You don't know. They did me wrong. I say this respectfully. Everybody's been hurt. You got to get over it. Well, they left me out. Everybody's been left out. Well, they lied about me. Welcome to the club. Everybody's been lied about. It's not worth missing your destiny over. I'm not saying what they did was okay. I'm saying it doesn't have to control and affect the rest of your life. It would be easy to live with a chip on your shoulder thinking about how wrong it was. Before long, you'll have that crutch. It'll cause you to hobble. When God created you to run, you got to draw the line in the sand and say, that's it, man. No more excuses. I can't do anything about the past, but I can do something about right now. And I'm going to live my life in faith. I'm trusting God to make it up to me. I'm trusting God to make my wrongs right. I'm trusting God to cause all things to work together for my good. Can you say amen? Amen. Friends, this day is a gift. And once you live it, you can never get it back. Life is too short to waste another day angry, offended, bitter, in self-pity. Like Joseph, maybe you had a rough start. But you don't have to have a rough finish. God wants to pay you back. Amen. He wants to give you beauty for ashes. He wants to give you double for the injustice. I realize it's not always easy to get over it. But let me tell you, it's not necessarily easy to just move forward. But the pain of letting go is less than the pain of holding on and missing your destiny. You're going to have pain either way. Choose the right pain. The Bible tells us to be imitators of Christ. In other words, He's our example. And if you're going to be like Jesus, can I tell you? If you're going to be like Jesus, you're going to have people come against you. Because Jesus had a lot of people come against Him. You're going to have people try to make you look bad. Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you too. Sometimes people don't like you. And the reason is because of the Christ in you. Sometimes you're going to be misunderstood. You're going to be criticized. You're going to have a Garden of Gethsemane experience. At times you feel abandoned. You feel alone. You may even have a Judas. Someone who betrays you, turns their back, walks away. I've had it happen more times than I can even remember. It's interesting when Judas came with the soldiers to betray Jesus. I was just reading this last night. And Jesus said to him in Matthew 26:50, my beloved friend, is this why you've come? And then the armed men seized Jesus to arrest him. He called him my beloved friend. Jesus knew he was betraying him. But you see, Jesus, it was all part of God's destiny. Jesus' attitude was, man, I've already gotten over what you're about to do. Your poor choices are not going to steal my joy, not going to stop my destiny. My Father has the final say. It might get a little rough, but I know in the end I'm coming out of this wearing the victor's crown. See, if you'll do like Jesus and not get bitter when unfair things happen, but instead trust your Father to make it up to you, let me tell you, at some point you're going to be wearing that victor's crown. Like Joseph, you're going to come out of that vindicated, promoted, in a place of honor, in a place of influence. In John chapter 5, there's a story about a crippled man. He'd been lying at the pool of Bethesda for 38 years. And every once in a while, an angel would come and stir the water. And the first person who got in the pool would be healed. So Jesus, it says in John 5:5, there was a man who had been disabled for 38 years, lying among the multitude of the sick. And he had suffered with a deep-seated and lingering disorder for 38 years. What is a lingering disorder? It's not just physical. But it's when we stay focused on the negative things of the past. We keep making excuses and we don't move forward. Those lingering disorders can keep us from our destiny. And one day Jesus showed up and he saw the man lying there. It was obvious he was crippled. Jesus knew why he was by the pool. He was trying to get well. Because the scripture says in verse 3, hundreds of sick people were lying on the porches. Paralyzed, the blind and the crippled, and they were waiting for their healing, for an angel of God would periodically descend into the pool and stir the waters, and the first one who stepped in after the waters were stirred would instantly be healed. So Jesus asked this man what seems like a strange question. In verse 6, Jesus asked him, "Do you truly long to be healed? Do you truly want to be healed?" And by the way the man responded, it shows us why he'd been that way for so long. Because he didn't say, "Yes, I want to be healed." You know what he did? He started making excuses of why he couldn't be healed. Imagine Jesus comes to you. "Do you want to be healed?" And instead of saying, "Yes," you start making the reasons why it can't happen. That's what it, verse 7. The sick man answered him, "Sir, there's no way I can get healed. There's no way I can get healed. For I have no one who will lower me into the water when the angel comes. As soon as I crawl to the edge of the pool, someone else jumps in ahead of me." He made excuses. He'd used these excuses so long, they'd become a crutch in his life. I love the way Jesus answered back. He didn't respond to this man.